In Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse number 35. Hallelujah. Good to see you this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to talk this morning. Our topic is going to be serving the King. Somebody say, serving the King. Hallelujah. Verse 35. Are you ready? One amen. That's good enough. We'll roll. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, somebody say multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Father God, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in your presence, to stand today and deliver what you laid upon my heart, God. My heart's prayer is that you would speak to us today, Holy Spirit. God, we feel your presence in this place. God, we've come to worship and we've come to receive a word from you, God, to impact our life, to take it out to a society, God, that needs to know that you really are what they're looking for in life. Father, I pray today that you would impart something into our spirits today, Lord, that would energize us to be about serving the King. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Notice here, Jesus is going about doing the work of the Father. In fact, Jesus says in one place that that's his purpose, is to do the will of him that sent him, which was the Father. It goes on to say that he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. That word moved, it moved him to do something. Amen? It moved him because he saw them in need. He saw them not having what they needed. He saw them in dire straits, if you would. He saw their heartbroken. He saw them needing more than what they had. And he was moved by compassion for them. It's very simple, but the Lord spoke to me some time ago. It's one thing to feel sorry for somebody, and it's another thing to have compassion for somebody. You see, if you feel sorry for somebody, you may do something that you really shouldn't do. Amen? But having compassion, that's something that comes from the heart of the Father. When you have compassion, you're able to even do more than what you can actually do. When you have compassion, it's like the Lord told me, he said, son, a passion for the Lord will produce a compassion for the lost. When we love him, we want to please him. When we love him and we begin to understand what the praise team sing about how he loves us, when we begin to understand that concept just a little bit, because we'll never truly understand the full magnitude of how much he really does love us. But if we will think about how much he loves us and those that have been brought from a great darkness, anybody been brought from a great darkness? Praise God. You'll be thankful unto him. The Bible says, him who has been forgiven much, they love much, because you're grateful because you understand the depth of sin that you were in, whether you were a drug addict or whether you had just told one lie. It didn't matter. We were all sinners who needed to be saved. And when we understand the magnitude of how great his love is, how he brought us out of our sin and sent us in his glorious kingdom to serve him. You see, Jesus didn't just save us so that we can be ready for the rapture. Now, that's one part. But he saved us because he wants us to reach the lost. He saved us because he wants us to be about the Father's business. He saved us because there's work that we need to do here in Scott County. Somebody say amen. There's no shortage of sinners around here. Amen. And around this area, we need to be about the Father's business, understanding that we have been called for a purpose. We have been predestined, my God. God has a purpose. God has a plan. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Before you ever conceived in your mother's womb, God had a purpose. God had a plan. God had a destiny for you. And when God brings us into his kingdom, our job is to love him and to seek out what God has called Everybody in this room listening, whether you're saved or unsaved, God has a purpose for your life. God has a call on your life. You may say, well, I'm not even saved in God, but He still called you. There's still a call place on your life, and you're not going to be satisfied, and you're not going to be fulfilled until you get in your proper place in the kingdom of God and say, send me, Lord, here am I. Just like Isaiah, when he saw the glory of the Lord, what did he say? He cried out about his lips being unclean, first of all, and then secondly, he said, Lord, send me, I'll go. Too many times what happens is He saves us, but we say, Lord, I think I'll stay. Amen? You'll catch that tomorrow sometime, maybe. Maybe this afternoon watching football, you'll catch that. But listen to me. You see, it's easy to stay in one place and be comfortable, right? It's easy to be saved and you say, Jesus, I love you and I'm waiting on the rapture. But listen to me. Once we snuggle up to His heart, we will hear His heartbeat. And His heart beats for souls. Just like Jesus, when He saw the multitude, He was moved by compassion. He saw them in need, and He wanted to help them. You see, Jesus wants us to find a place. Can I tell you, every person in this building, God needs you to find your place. Let me give you some... Somebody said, give me some word on it. All right, I can do that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He says, be diligent about finding your place in the kingdom of God. You see, so many times we're diligent about doing what we want to do. We're diligent about doing the things that we like to do. But listen to me. Once we begin to snuggle up to the heart of Jesus, we'll begin to have His heart. Amen. When we love on Him, we will begin to want to please Him. And the more we want to please Him, the more He's going to point. The more He's going to say, give of yourself unto me. It's just like David said in one place. He said, I'm not going to give the Lord anything that doesn't cost me something. And serving the Lord, working in the kingdom of God, it cost us something. It cost us of ourselves. There are people all over this planet that are doing all kinds of things. There are singers, they are gifted, and they are talented, and they're prospering, they're doing all their stuff. But the talent that they have, God didn't give them that talent to pervert it. God gave him the talent to use it for His glory. Amen. And the thing is, they're using the gift that God gave them, but Satan is perverting that gift. There are people that are singing, and they're doing great in the music industry, but they got their talent in church. Amen. They got their giftings from God. Everybody has a gift that comes from God, right? You see, God places that gift in our life, and so many times we struggle because maybe we're not as talented in this area or there. But listen to me. There are areas in your life that you can do things like nobody else can do. Amen. And what God wants us to do is seek Him. Listen to what He said. He said, be diligent. Give your diligence to make your calling and your election sure. He wants you to know beyond the shadow of any doubt what your place is in the kingdom. And too many people, they spend their lives, they die without ever giving their true gift and their calling to God. And the point is this, God wants us to realize that He has called us. Do you realize, saints, that God, that there is fruit that God has placed our name on? There are people that God has intended for us to reach. We need to be about reaching those, don't we? There are souls that God intends for you to reap. Jesus said the harvest is ripe and white on the harvest. He said the harvest is already ready for us to reap the harvest. That's why He said in the text to pray ye for the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His field. Jesus did not save us so that we could just be in church and say, well, isn't this wonderful?
And it is wonderful, but when we have church, the reason that we have church is to gather together among the brethren to worship God, to praise God, to encourage one another in the Lord, but also to receive impartation from the Lord, to receive the word that God has spoken, for us to take it back to our schools, back to our jobs, back to our family reunions, to use that which God has placed within us. Would somebody say amen? Too many people spend their lives, they use their energies on the wrong thing. God wants us to find our place. You see, once we find the place, we begin to be fulfilled, right? Can I remind you, Pastor said months ago, that the reason why some people aren't happy is because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. You recall that statement approximately 2 or 3 months ago? It's truth. And we're never going to be fulfilled until we find that place. That's why people in the world, that's why they can have all kinds of stuff, but they're not fulfilled. Right? They can marry this handsome guy or this beautiful woman, but they're still not going to be happy. Because they're going to see somebody else a little bit more pretty or a little bit more handsome, right? They're not going to be happy. They're not going to be fulfilled. They can sing before thousands, but they're never fulfilled. It's because they'll never find that fulfillment until they give that gift to God. And there are people sitting up on pews all over this world. And God is saying, people, be diligent about finding your place in the kingdom. I want you to raise your hand if you've been at All Seasons for over 5 years. Awesome. You see, I've just been here a year and a couple of months, but those of you that have been here for a while, you and I both know. Our pastor and our first lady, they don't mind doing anything, do they? Y'all said, right, real quick, they'll do anything. But you know what? You know what would be a great blessing to our pastors and a great pastor appreciation to them? He would love it more than any gift, any amount of money you could ever give him. He would love for us to find our place in the kingdom. Come on now. That'll make his heart big. You know why? Because Pastor understands the vision that God gave him. He needs us to help get it done. Come on now. You see, even Jesus, the King of the kingdom, when he came to this earth, he didn't do it by himself. He just said, disciples, y'all sit in the corner. I got this. Watch me. I'm bad. And he could have done that, couldn't he? He could have said, I'm a bad man. Watch me. But he wanted to teach them why, because he knew he was going back to the Father. And he knew that he needed to teach them, he needed to train them how to use the gifts that God had given them to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. And like I said, I've not been here long, but there's a lot of people in this church that work, they serve, they work, they serve. But listen to me and hear my heart, because the Lord placed this on my heart. Every person in All Seasons, not some, not 50, not 25, not 100, every person, we need to find their place. Somebody say amen with me. We need to find our place and say, God, where do you want me? Because listen to me, everybody's got a place. Let me give you this verse. So give me some word on it. Come back to that one, not that one. Yeah. Romans 12, verse number 11. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Somebody say that's good. There's another verse I got marked I'm trying to find. Give me just a minute. Yeah, here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, once you die, you can't use what God's given you. Once you're dead, you're dead. You're either going up or you're going down. The elevator's going to go up or it's going to get real hot. One or the other. Amen? Have you seen the ESPN commercial where the guy walks up to the elevator and the door's open and he sees this man in a double suit? He says, you going up? He shakes his head no. He's like, all right. It was the devil going down. He's like, no, I'm not going that way. You didn't catch that, did you?
Whatever I have found, to do it with all your might. God says, whatever you find to do, that's your calling. Do it with your might, because nobody can do what you do like you. T.D. Jakes said it best. He said, once you find your place, you've got no competition. Because can't nobody do what you do like you but you. Absolutely. You see, it doesn't matter whether you have education or whatever. When there's a gift and a calling on your life, only God touches you and gives you and blesses you to do it top notch. God wants us to, whatever our hand finds to do, to do it with all of our might. I heard years ago, and the stats are probably worse now, I haven't seen, but they said years ago that in the church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Oh, Lord. Lord, help us, somebody. And do you know what happens when that takes place? There are people that are doing things that's not even their gift. That's one reason why people get tired. Because it's not their gift. It's not their calling. They're doing it because they love the Lord and they love pastor and they love the vision. But when people really begin to find their place, what you do, it prospers. Amen? It may take a little time, but it's going to prosper, because when God's hand is on your life, once you find that place of ministry, God blesses it. Amen? Amen. And it's like this. Can I just preach like this is in my heart? I've been in church and around church most all my life. And a lot of times the people that do the least complain the most. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching right. Amen. But see, when we're working, we ain't got much time to complain, do we? Come on now. You know, like that one person that you work with, or maybe there's more, all they do is complain. You're like, man, if you work half as much as you talk, you get a lot of stuff done. Amen? Like, if you stop bumping them gums and start using those hands and feet, man, you can help the business show up. Amen? Somebody say, serve the King. God wants us to be about His business. And hear me, guys, our Lord, more than anything, our Lord and Savior chooses to need us. Do we understand He needs us? Seems like He doesn't need us. Yes, He does. Because He's placed us in authority in the earth. If the people get reached, if the people get served, it's going to be because He said, Lord, flow through me. Lord, use me for Your glory. God, touch my life. God, sing through me. He said, that's why I don't sing. It's because I can't sing. Amen? Now, there's been times that I did, but it wasn't my call. Amen. And when I stopped, the people were like, hallelujah, God is so good. Praise God. You see, when I'm married here, I got the revelation. God was saying, Shannon, shut up. Quit singing, boy. I love it, but the people are, they're getting sick. You're hurting them bad. Quit. Amen. There's been times and places where I had no choice but sing because somebody had to sing. So, I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, I know you love this, but people are making some bad faces out there. For real. Yeah. It's like Jennifer Dilly told me one time, I was picking at her. I said, can I sing? And she said, well, she said, the part in the song, how's it go? Yes, there you go, thank you. She said, the part where it says whisper His name, she said, you sing that part. Now, that's hating on a brother, ain't it? I didn't feel no love when she said that at all. Yeah. Amen. See, God's got a place for everybody. There's some things that we just can't do. That, like I said, there's time, but we just have to step up and do stuff that we're not called. But if the church, if everybody would find their place, people wouldn't be wore out. Come on now. I think First Lady has like 12 jobs. Sometimes I say, First Lady, rest. She's like, I can't. Amen? Do you know, saints, we can help make their load lighter?
Don't shout me down when I'm preaching right. Like I said, they'll do anything. They will. With a smile, they'll serve in any capacity. But if everybody in all seasons would say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? They can be doing less. Spending more time with their family. Amen? Come on. You know I'm preaching right. When we find our place, that's what makes God's heart big. That's what will make our pastor's heart big. Is when we say, when you can go to pastor and say, Pastor, God told me what my call is. And more than likely, he'll already know. He'll just smile and won't say nothing. He'll already know before you tell him. Amen? It's awesome because as a body, we're knit and joined together, right? The Bible says that we are fellow laborers together in the kingdom of God. When everybody finds their place, it begins to fit like a glove. And things begin to flow at an all-time high because when you are at your station in the kingdom of God and you're letting God flow through you and you're letting God speak to you and you're serving, I'm telling you, saints, we can do more than you can even imagine. Amen? And there's a lot that God wants to be done. Amen? We're fixing to get a new building. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know what that's going to mean? More people. That means we need you. Amen. Y'all love me? You got to love me to go to heaven. I'm just saying. Amen. We need you to find your place. You say, well, Pastor Shannon, I can't teach. I can't do this. No, but I promise you, there's something God's called you to do that can't nobody else do it like you. Amen? And more than likely, there's more than one gift in your life. More than likely, there's more than one talent in your life. More than likely, there's several things in your life that you can do. And that's why God should do your diligence to find your place. Be about diligence saying, God, I want to know what you have for my life. And once you find that place, you will be more fulfilled than you've ever been in your life. And when you do that, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be challenges, and in your flesh you're going to get tired, but there's going to be grace on your life to fulfill the call that God has placed on you. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. It says, if the iron be blunt or dull, and does not whet or sharpen the edge, then he must put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Listen to that again. Let me read it to you in the Amplified. If the axe is dull and the man does not whet the edge, he must put forth more strength. When you're out of position, it takes more of your strength. Come on now. That's why people get tired and wore out in church. It's because they're doing things that they're not called to do. Y'all are loving this part this morning, aren't you? And we're like, people are like, well, you don't understand. I work a job. I do this. I do this. I do this. And I understand there's some of you in this room, you're extremely, extremely busy. But we were not just born to earn a salary. Come on now. We were born to advance the kingdom. Amen? Now, I know the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's truth. Absolutely. But at the same time, God is saying in our schedule, we need to make God time. We need to make time when we say, God, this is dedicated to you. This is for you. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because I want to please you. I'm doing this because you believed in me when I didn't believe in me and people didn't believe in me. I'm doing this because you're good. I'm doing this because I want to please you and I want to help people. You see, Jesus loved people. And I understand that individuals have different personalities. There are some people that are content to just not talk a lot. And that's cool. There are some that talk a lot, like myself. There are some that are very, very quiet. And that's true. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen to me. When we find our place in the kingdom, whatever that gift is, whatever that talent is, God will help you work through that shyness or that timidness. Amen? God will help you to do that. If you look in Scripture, Jesus didn't, He didn't go choose all those that were the strongest and the most handsome and the best. No, He went and found the flunkies. He did. I said before, He went and found fishermen that didn't even know how to fish. They fish on the wrong side of the boat all the time. They weren't even good fishermen. But Jesus said, I want you. You see, God can take our passion and use it for His glory. Remember, passion for the Lord produces a compassion for the lost. He saw their work ethic. He saw their passion. And He said, when I get my love on the inside of you and I channel that passion towards the kingdom, there's not going to be anybody that's able to stop you. You see, when I was raised, my dad wasn't a preacher. My dad never taught Sunday school. But my dad would get there before anybody else got there. And he didn't do it for any other reason than because he loved God. He'd get there early. Before anybody else got there, he would make sure that stuff was neat, the porch was swept off, clean and looking good because it was God's house. Amen? And it marked my life even as a child because my dad is he is the hardest worker that I know. My dad is a get-it-done kind of person. I mean, he wakes the rooster up and says, it's time to crow now, dude. That's my dad. When he comes and stays at our house, he has to either lay in the bed until we get up because we don't get up real early. If we off work, we sleep. Amen. So my dad's uncomfortable because he has to wait on us to get up. Amen. But he marked my life because he was such a worker and he served the church. Listen to me. I know in our society things are a lot different. There are some that are not raised anywhere near church, but what I am saying is if we will let the heart of the Father begin to be our heart, like Brother Blaylock preached the other night, if we will begin to have a heart towards God, His heart will take our place and we'll begin to see what He sees, we will begin to feel what He feels, and we can do far beyond what we could ever imagine. Amen. Somebody say yes. Verse 18, it says, but by much slothfulness the building decays. Through the idleness of the hands, the house drops through. It's just like an old house. If it's vacated for a period of time, what's going to happen? It's going to fall in. It's amazing. It just falls down. I don't understand that, but it happens. So God is saying that we need to be busy in the kingdom of God. And the thing that I don't understand is there are people, their work ethic in the world, man, they'll work people under a table. But when they come to church, they just won't. Well, that's what we pay the preacher to do. Come on now. Y'all looking at me funny. You say, I just want to come and be blessed. Listen to me. If we'll find our place in the kingdom, we'll be more blessed than we could ever imagine. When we say, God, help me have your heart, you see, God will begin to bless us more than ever before. When we say, God, I want to have your heart. I mean, what would happen if in all seasons, if 100% of people found their place in the kingdom of God? Think how awesome that would be. You see, in the natural, you're like, man, that'll never happen. It could. It could. When we snuggle up to God and God starts talking to us, man. You see, because when we're busy about doing His business, trust me, He'll take care of your house. Come on now. He'll take care of your family. He'll take care of us because we're doing His will. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Let me back up to verse 11. It says, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You see, he's sincere about this thing, saints. He said, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in H-word. It's hard to say. I'm just going to say H-word. How about that? Is it okay? It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you.
Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Memphis and the church which is in his house. And when the epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed. Somebody say, take heed. To the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So he said previously to be diligent about finding our place in the kingdom of God. Then he says, take heed that once we find the place that God has allotted us to be, we have the grace of God on us to do that. When we do it with all of our might, when we say, God, this is what you called me to do, I'm going to give it my heart. I'm not going to be slack about it. I'm going to do it because I love you. I'm going to do it because it's in my heart to do it. Then he says, take heed that you don't just start it and drop it, but that you fulfill it. Come on now. Take heed that you fulfill it. Amen. You ever heard somebody say, they go to a leader, Pastor, God's laid this on my heart. God's laid this on my heart to do this. He laid it on their heart for 1 month to do it, and then he took it off. Come on now. Somebody say amen. He laid on your heart real strong for 1 month. Now that was gas, sweetheart. Or did you just disobeyed God one or the other? Don't shout me down on preaching tonight. That's late night Taco Bell or El Patio or something. Amen. I'm not preaching right today. He says, take heed that you fulfill. Listen to me. God never said it. Let me just read this here. God never said that it would be easy. Amen. He never said that. Listen to this in Matthew 10. This is right after the part that we started out in. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. So he called the 12. Listen to this. He said, go into the way of the Gentiles, into the city of the Samaritans, and enter into it. He goes on to say, verse 7, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And he went on to tell them, he said, don't even worry about the gold, the silver, the brass in your purse. Don't even take a scrip, neither coats, nor shoes, nor anything. He's saying, what I've called you to do, I will take care of you as you do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever God calls us to do, there will always be provision to do it. And safety to carry out that will. Are you following me, saints? He said, in the whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide then. And listen to what he says in this verse. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He was saying, guys, when I call you to do something, it's not always going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. Paul said in one place, I have fought with the beast at Ephesus. You see, Paul had a great call in his life, but the enemy tried to kill him. People thought against him because of what God had done in his life. He was passionate about what he'd done, and he did it with all his heart, and people hated him for it. So Jesus said he's going to send us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He said, but be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus is saying, saints, the call that I place on your life, the gift that I place on your life, there are going to be times there's going to be great opposition. If you read the life of Paul, you will see how Paul continually was facing hatred. He was continually being fought against. In fact, in one place, they beat Paul profusely and pulled him outside the city limits sign, left him for dead. But God brought him back up. Do you know why? Because God had a plan for his life. There was a gift and a call on his life. Later on in the book of Acts, they're on the ship. They're sailing. The wind is going crazy. And the people on the boat are freaking out. They come to Paul and they say, Paul, man of God, we're going to die. We ain't going to make it. We're going to die. But the Bible said an angel of the Lord spoke to Paul
And he said, "Fear not, Paul, for I am with you." Come on now, somebody. So Paul told him, he said, "Don't be afraid." And paraphrasing what he told him, he said, "Guys, God let me know by an angel that we're going to go to the other side." Do you know why Paul couldn't die out on that sea? Do you know why he couldn't die? Because Paul had an assignment to go to Rome. Oh, come on, let me preach right here, somebody. Basically, he was saying, "Paul, does this look like Rome to you?" Oh, somebody would hear me. What I'm trying to say is when you are using the gift and the talent that God has given you, and you're in the place, the will that God has placed you in, you are not going to die until that assignment has been fulfilled. Because Paul couldn't pass from this life to the next until he went to Rome and stood before Caesar. There was a prophetic call and an unction in his life. The devil tried to kill him many times, but God would constantly remind Paul and say, "Boy, you say, God, looks like I'm going to die. Looks like I'm not going to make it." And God will say, "Paul, hush it, boy. This ain't Rome. Does this look like Rome to you? There's a place of prophetic destiny upon your life. And no demon, no devil, no person, no sickness, no disease, no poverty is going to stop you until you get to Rome and stand before Him and declare the words I've placed inside your heart." Oh, come on and give Him praise because He's worthy. Come on and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Almost through. Romans 11, verse 29, it says, "For the gifts and the callings of God, they're without repentance. They're irrevocable." That means when God calls somebody to preach, they're called till they're raptured or they die. They're called. That's why preachers, even when some retire, they still want to preach somewhere sometime. Because it's a fire in their belly and they can't help but do that. Their bodies may not be willing to hold it, but there's fire in their belly and they want to preach because it's in them. Amen? There's a desire in their heart. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's why people that have backslid in ministry, they're the most miserable and many times the meanest people you'll ever meet in your life. Because they're fighting God. And when you fight God, you're going to lose. Because Paul was formerly known, so ask him how it goes when you fight God. You find yourself there on the ground where you can't see nothing. Amen. Amen. That just furthermore shows you that God doesn't look at everybody, doesn't look at people that have it all together. Can I tell you, none of us have it all together. We're men and women under construction. We're called the perfecting church, being perfected, coming into maturity in Christ. Amen. But the gifts and the callings of God, they're without repentance. That means when God called me to preach, He'll never move that call off my life. I can act stupid if I want to. God's not going to take that calling off my life. If God's called you to do something, He's not going to take it off your life. Amen. He may shift you, but there will always be a place of ministry that God's called you to. And you can get 12 jobs, but you won't be fulfilled. Amen? You can make 6 figures, you can make 9 figures, but if you're not in the place that God's called you, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be happy because that call has got to be fulfilled. Amen? Almost through. Then we're going to pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. This verse is very awesome to me. It says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also would do it." God is standing, saying, "I'm faithful on my end. I'm going to do what I promised." Just like Jesus, that's why He couldn't be stopped to go to the cross. He couldn't be stopped to raise from the dead because there was a call to be fulfilled. Amen? He had to be born of the Virgin. He had to live 33 years. He had to be crucified. He had to be buried. He had to raise again, ascend to the Father, send the Holy Spirit. It all had to happen because it was the call. Just like Paul, he went through the things he went through. Faced great opposition. In his ship, they're thinking they're going to die, but he couldn't die because God wasn't through. And if we'll be honest, there are those of us in this room, Some of us even being alive is a miracle from God. Think about it now. The devil did his best to kill you before you got saved. Some of us done our best to kill ourselves before we got saved. But the grace and the mercy of God allowed us to live so we could be saved, because He's got so much belief and confidence in you. And He says, I've allowed you to come this far. And I need you, my people. Listen to me. This is the Lord talking. And I need you, my people, to find your place and say, God, till you return or till I die, I will serve the King. Would you stand? Oh, Jesus. Come on, raise your hand to Him this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus.